This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Monday. God bless you. Happy Monday to you. And thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Monday. This is WGOD. We're tuning into God's frequency here today. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. And we're going to tune in now to his frequency here. You're going to hear a sermon here starting today. This will, for the next 5 weeks, I just started a series on Moses. Moses, the man of God. Moses, a man of faith. And this is our topic here for today's sermon. And we're going to get into, we're going to work our way there to how the Jews ended up in Egypt. So we're going to go back to Joseph and his brothers and the problems there, and then we'll wrap up this sermon here today with the birth of Moses. But this is where we're going to be for a couple of weeks. We're going to have a power-packed time in the Word of God. You are invited to attend one of our services. We would love to see you. Why don't you guys consider coming by next Sunday at 10:30 as we look in at Moses and the burning bush? And that's where we'll be at next week. In the meantime, Pastor Darren, my associate pastor, is teaching Wednesday night. He's in the book of Colossians. He will be in chapter 2 this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We would love to see you for one of our services. Okay, here we go. Moses, the man of faith. Here's part 1, and part 2 will air tomorrow.
Moses, the man of faith. If anyone needs one of these, it's in the bulletin. If you didn't get one since I handed out the bulletins today, it's my fault. Does anyone need one?
What a wonderful slide. I thank you, Carol. That is, really looks nice. Looking at Moses here, a man of faith. Now, today I want to take a few weeks and look at the life and times of Moses. I think this will make for some interesting and power-packed sermons as we look at this great man of faith. We'll be doing some more character studies, a la Chuck Swindoll, here in the future as well. I think we'll look at Paul the Apostle, do a character study on him, as well as King David. So let's pray before we get started, though. Lord God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we approach you. Because of the atonement, because of the 3 hours of darkness, we know that we can approach you and that you hear us. We pray right now, here today, and for these coming weeks, you'll speak to us here through your word. We listen for your voice. May the power to change be present. Show us where we lack. Show us where we fall short. And may the power to change be present today. And please continue to transform us more and more, day by day, into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Okay, now, in the last chapter of Genesis, if you guys would turn to Genesis chapter 37, that's where I'm going to have you start in a minute. But in the last chapter of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, this here is the scene. Jacob has died. His son Joseph is the second in charge over all of Egypt. Jacob's other 11 sons were afraid that once Jacob was dead, that Joseph was going to get revenge on them for throwing him into a pit and then selling him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. Now let's go back there for a minute. Again, Genesis
chapter 37, and let's pick it up today in verse 18. Everybody there? Genesis 37, 18. Now when they saw him, the him being Joseph, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. And they said to one another, look, here comes this dreamer. Come therefore, let us now kill him. And let's cast him into some pit, and we will say, some wild beast has devoured him. And then we will see what will become of his dreams. Boy, that's some family, huh? Anyone hate you and your family like that? Now keep in mind, Joseph had a dream that his brothers, rather his entire family, was going to bow down to him. And here's something to remember. If you ever have a dream in which you are going to rule over your whole family, it might be good to keep that dream to yourself and not to share that with others. Some dreams are meant to share. Some are meant to just keep it to yourself. Don't tell anyone. The church knows what I like to call dreams like that. Too much linguine. But not in this case, because this dream's come from God, as we're going to see. Okay, verse 21, Genesis 37, 21. But Reuben heard it. Heard what? Heard his brothers were going to throw him into a pit. So when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands and said, nah, let's not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him here into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and don't lay a hand on him, so that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. Verse 23, so it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped him of his tunic, this tunic or this coat of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. All right, now after this, look at the response from Joseph's brothers here. Verse 25, it says, and they sat down to eat a meal. Wow, I mean, talk about dysfunctional family. Sounds like The Godfather. If anyone unfortunately has seen that, or am I the only one? He says, leave the gun, but take the cannoli. What a dysfunctional family this is. Look at the hatred these brothers had for Joseph. Do you know how this hatred came about for him? Favoritism in a family. Favoritism in a family. And not only that, favoritism in a family of half-brothers. In the world of blended families, there's no more, this hits no, hits home no harder than it does here today. Blended families today. This is how this happened. Favoritism in a family. His dad favored one child over another. That's where this problem came from. Jacob loved his son Joseph more than his other sons. And as a result of this, his brothers hated him and wished him dead. Now, having grown up in a great family, I can't relate. Maybe you can. My family was not dysfunctional. I don't think we ever argued once around the dinner table. Look at what else these brothers did. Verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic and they killed a kid of the goats and they dipped his tunic in the blood. Then they sent this coat of many colors, this tunic, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is that son of yours tunic? Don't you just, it's dripping with smugness. Does this belong to that son of yours? Not my brother, but not, that son of yours.
And he recognized it. That's Jacob. And he said, yep, it's my son. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. So then Jacob tore his clothes and he put sackcloth on his waist and he mourned for his son many days. And all of his sons and all of his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down into the grave to my son in mourning. And then thus his father wept for him. So I would say, too late now for his brothers, huh? As me and Bill used to say, you know, going over that slippery slope. Well, now they've done plunged over the edge, and there's no going back now. You can't walk this one back. Imagine doing that to your own dad. Imagine causing your father or mother extreme grief. Now, I probably did that for 20 years. Imagine causing your father or mother extreme grief and not caring about what this did to their father. So I wonder how they arose to comfort him as well. What'd they say? How could you endure the guilt of having done this? Arose to comfort him? You know, the Bible is full of dysfunctional and sometimes bad people, is it not? Almost kind of comforting that if God can love this bunch, that there's hope for me yet. Verse 36. Now the Midianites had sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. All right, so there's the backdrop here. This is how the Jews ended up in Egypt. Because of these guys, out of hatred, sold their brother. That's how the Jews ended up in Egypt. So now, Jacob's dead. Now, but after being reunited with his son through the providence of God, we're not looking at Jacob. This sermon is on Moses, but this is the backdrop for how the Jews ended up in Egypt here. Now, so Jacob is dead. Let's turn to chapter 50 now in the book of Genesis. Chapter 50, verse 15. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. Now, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was... All right, I've skipped a lot. You know, you guys got to go back... Read these chapters 37 through 49. Read how they finally ran into Joseph again, but they didn't recognize him. So read all that some other time. But chapter 50, verse 15, Jacob's dead. So when Joseph's brothers saw that their father, Jacob, was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil that we did to him. You think? So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, all right, now here comes the lie to get out of this one. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Now there's that dream fulfilled. The day is going to come when your whole family is going to bow the knee to you. So behold, we are your servants. Verse 19, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good,
in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. But did you catch what he just said? He said, God meant it for good. Joseph said, God meant this for good. This is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, is this verse right here, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about this day, as it is this day, to save many people alive. He said it earlier too in chapter 45, verse 7, where he said this. He said, and God sent me. Well, now wait a minute. He was sold to them. He was sold to the Egypt. He says that God sent me. What gives? Not behind the scenes. Right, that's the providence of God. Joseph, he knew this. He said, God, this is, I'm reading to you, Genesis chapter 45, verse 7. Listen to what this man said after all he's been through. He said, God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save men, to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now, verse 8, Genesis 45, verse 8. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he's made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord over all of his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. What an astounding statement that is. God did all this to me, and God orchestrated all of these bad things that happened to me. He said, you didn't do this. No, no, God did this. Listen to these seven things that happened to him. Number one, he was treated roughly. Number two, he was thrown into a pit. Number three, his father had to suffer along with him, like I made my father suffer along with me 25 years. Number four, he was sold as a slave. Number five, he was wrongly accused of a crime that he didn't commit. And yet he says, you didn't do this to me. God did this. You able to grasp that today? The providence of God, that even when bad things happen to you in your life, the sovereign providence of God is working behind the scenes. The sixth thing, it said he was cast into a dark dungeon. Now, when he was thrown into this pit, Genesis chapter 37, the man was 17 years old. When they took him out of the dungeon, he was 30 years old. 13 years. Do you think he might have been a little sore at God over all this? Let me ask the question. Would you be? Would you be sore after 13 years of this? All right. Maybe you survive after 10. How about in the 11th year? Would you have been sore then? If your beard is halfway from here to South America and you smell and stinketh? 11 years? All right, how about after your 12th year in jail? You know, we try not to complain. I do pretty good here in the summer, being a Jersey boy. I understand. I put up with it. It's not below zero in snow. So I do good in May. I do good in June. I do good in July, August. But man, oh man, once September comes, October, then I'm really upset. And then I break my promise not to complain because of the heat. But can you imagine 13 years of this, of suffering because of someone else's sin, and then to get up and say, this was not you that did this. No, God did this. Do you guys trust God like this? That when you're going through suffering, God is at work behind the scenes. Do you trust God like this? See, this is why the Apostle Paul said, he said, all things work together for good to those that love God. Not just for everyone, but for those that love God. Not to the atheists, but to those that love God. Those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, who love God, who received his provision for their sins. All things work together for good for the Christian. All things. Even things like this. Now, Joseph understood that. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, the purpose for Joseph was 13 years of suffering. In Genesis 42:36, Jacob cried out because he thought his son was dead, and he said, "Everything in life is against me." And I say to you, Jake, wrong. Everything is for you. You just can't see it at the time. Everything is for you, not against you. Now, God might not cause the difficulty in your life, but I'll tell you what, he can and will cause it to work out for good in your life, even if it's not because of sin on your part, but someone else's sin. Even if it's not your fault, he still can turn that around, and he will turn that around, because the Bible says that all things work together for good. To them that love on him and call him Lord. All things will work together for good. And now here, Joseph is not sore. Look at what he says, verse 21. Where is this? This is Genesis 50:21. He says, "Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim, now that's his son, he saw his son's children to the third generation. Verse 24, and Joseph said to his brethren, "I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of the land." So there's the prophecy. God will visit you, and he'll bring you out of this land which he swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. That's what they did in Egypt. They embalmed him. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. There you have it. Now let's flip here one page in your Bible to Exodus chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Wanted to set the table here, show you the providence of God behind the scenes here that got the Jews to Egypt in the first place. Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. So Joseph died and all of his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And a new king, I would say, that didn't know God ultimately. The greatest mistake a person could ever make is not knowing God. Doesn't get any worse than that, not knowing God. Verse 9, and he said to his people, Pharaoh speaking, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land." All right, so this guy's the original Adolf Hitler here. Verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. That is shipwreck and poo. So he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and you see them on their birth stools, if it's a son, then kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. Verse 17, but the midwives feared God. You know, I can find some new employees for Planned Parenthood right here. How about a little dose of fear in God? And then sending them out north, south, east, and west starts here. Look what happens when this is your mindset. Even if you don't deliver children for a job. The midwives, this is Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. The midwives feared God. And they did not do as the king commanded them. But they saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, what are you doing here? Why have you done this thing? Why have you saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, they didn't lie. They said, look, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They're lively and they give birth before the midwives can come to them. Catch the next word. The next word is the word therefore. Therefore, that is because they feared God, is what the therefore is there for. Therefore, because they feared God, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people grew, the people multiplied and grew very mighty. Look at verse 21. Notice again the reason why God did what he did. So it was, verse 21, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. Well, look how far the providence of God extends to you. He even gave them places to live in. These are the tentacles that branch out, that start with you deciding you're going to follow God and trust him in the face of adversity. It starts right here. And then it just branches out like tentacles from there. You got the favor of God wherever you go. You got the Midas touch. Everything that you touch turns to gold. Your prayers get answered. And now God's going to provide some houses for you to live in.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Hi friends, Paul Esposito here from 91.5 FM WMIE and WWBC Radio. We are pleased to announce that our brand new apps have been released and are now available in the App Store for you to download. So search for WMIE as well as WWBC, and you can hear the awesome programming on these stations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There also is a lot of programs available on demand. Some of the local programming here you now can hear on demand from your phone or tablet. So I encourage you, download these apps, WMIE and WWBC.